Today we'll be in the book of Joshua, chapter 8, verse 30. We'll be reading verse 30 through 35. The title of the message this morning is Worship, an Opportunity for Renewal. That's Joshua, chapter 8, verse 30. We'll begin reading there. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, standing in reverence and respect for God's Word. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there, in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with their elders, the officers, and the judges, stood on either side of the ark, before the priest, the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The stranger, as well as he who was born among them, half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, today we come to worship you, for you are worthy of our praise. We bow before you, Lord, to surrender ourselves to you as your servants, to be used as it pleases you for your glory. Lord, we pray that you will stir hearts through this message this morning, that it will be your message, and that, Lord, you will speak to us today. Speak to all of us, Lord, that we may know we've been in your presence, and that we may have clear direction for the days that lie ahead. Father, we want to thank you for every blessing, but most of all, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just to give us a little background, prior to what we read there, verse 30 through 35, Israel has marched against, marched to take the promised land. They have marched against and defeated the city of Jericho. They have lost a battle for the city of Ai, and they had lost that battle because of sin, and so they had to go back and get the sin out of the camp, and they got sin out of the camp, go back against the city of Ai, and they defeated that city. And now they're in a valley between two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And suddenly everything stops. We're not conquering land anymore. We're not marching across the promised land. We're not taking a city. It just stops. And they observe a ceremony that Moses had set in place. Actually, God had set in place. If you want to read about it, you can start in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 29. Then Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28. And it is a time of renewal, a time of rededication that God had given them before they entered the promised land, and said, when you get to this point, here's what I want you to do. Most of us do not consider the absolute necessity of ceasing from life for a period of renewal through worship. To be honest with you, if we're not very careful, worship become something else we have to do because it's on our to-do list. And if that's our attitude, we've missed the point. Even though worship is very important, and it's something we do need to observe each week. But if you just worship because you're supposed to worship, you're going to find yourself leaving worship very empty. Have you ever done that? It's happened to me a few times, and I cannot blame the church. I cannot blame the people. I have to blame myself. Because through the process of the worship, I left out some things. And it was me. And so my soul was never fed and lifted up as it should have been from being in the house of God. You see, when you come to worship, you're not just coming to sing. You're not just coming to hear a message. You're coming to get your spiritual gas tank refueled. You've been fighting the battles of the week, dealing with the stuff that's going on, and every day that spiritual gas tank gets a little lower and a little lower and a little lower. So you're here today for the purpose of God refueling you spiritually. How do we do that? Well, it starts with a renewed appreciation for the great God that we serve. Okay? In Joshua, it says in the text that Joshua built an altar, and the altar was for the purpose of bringing offerings to the Lord. And there were two types of offerings that's mentioned in the text that they brought. The first offering was burnt offerings. The second offering was peace offerings. Two very different offerings that were for a specific purpose. Now first, I want to present to you the burnt offerings that they would have offered on that altar. You see, that burnt offering would have been an offering of the choice, the finest animal that they had. And it was to be given and completely consumed on the altar by the fire. The whole thing was to be consumed by fire on that altar. And it was for the atonement of sin. And this offering would have been a reminder to them, you have to deal with sin. If you let sin go on and continue and continue, it just grows and grows until it consumes you. This offering points to the coming Messiah, would have pointed them toward the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, who was the sacrifice for our sin. That He was completely given upon the cross of Calvary. And because of that sacrifice, you and I today have eternal life. I'm thankful for Jesus, and I want to start right there. I'm thankful. I just want to stop, and you know, there's so many worries out there. Let's just stop and let's just be thankful. If you are a child of God, you have been delivered. You have been rescued from the consequences of sin. The Bible tells us that there is now therefore no condemnation for the child of God. Why? Because Jesus paid our sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. And today we're here just to celebrate because we have a Savior. Do you realize there's no other religion in the world that has a Savior? There's no other religion in the world that deals with the sin problem. I look at our country and there's so many people out of sorts and so many problems and people, different people have different answers. But the answer is, if we was as a nation would deal with the sin problem, it would deliver us from the other problems that we're having. I want you to understand today. I want you to just stop and consider the difference that Jesus Christ has made in your life. If you're a child of God, He took your sin. He cast it as far as east is from the west to be remembered no more. And He gave you His righteousness. But see, the problem in most worship services today is that people don't want to deal with their sin. We want to come. We want to sing a little bit. We want to hear a message. But we don't want to deal with the real problem, which is our sin. And it's really sad because, let's face it, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? And even after we're saved, we still fight and we struggle with sin. The Apostle Paul said, those things that I would do, I don't do. And those things that I would not do, those are the things I do. He was talking about he himself having to deal with the sin issue. The glorious news, though, is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've ever walked out of a worship service and thought, boy, I didn't get anything out of that, I would ask you the first thing to examine is, did you deal with your sin? Because once you deal with that sin, then the guilt leaves. Then you are encouraged, knowing the love of the awesome Savior that you have. You see, that's what the burnt offering would have pointed them toward. You got to deal with the sin. Second offering that they did was the peace offering, also known as the fellowship offering. And what that was, it was just an expression of thanksgiving for God's provision. The peace offering was a little different, though, in that it was the entire offering was not laid upon the altar and consumed by fire. Only a portion of the offering was laid on the altar to be consumed by fire. But they took a portion and they would give it back to the worshiper, signifying God giving to His children. You see, I'm reminded in this service today that all that I am and all that I will ever hope to be is by the hand of a glorious and merciful God. Every blessing. And you know, I'm blessed. Do you realize how blessed we are? I'm in good health as far as I know. Have a wonderful home. Many friends. I have a church family that I get to preach to every week and to share fellowship with every week. Sometimes I'm bad about overlooking these blessings and realizing, hey, God, You're the one that's given it all to me. It all has come from You. And we look at Israel at this point, as I told you in the beginning, they have only experienced really two small victories, and one of those victories, it took them two times to get it right, you know? And there was a lot of the promised land, the majority of the promised land that was yet to be conquered. But after these two victories that they had experienced, they stopped to give thanks and to worship God for the two small victories that they were given. Listen, I want to challenge you today to let's just stop. And let's be thankful to an awesome God that's given us everything that we have. You see, the danger is we look to the future and we see all these things that we that we would like to see happen. If you're like me, oftentimes I just pass over the daily stuff saying, okay, thank You, Lord, but I need more. I want more. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. And I don't stop and appreciate where I am right here and right now. I just want to challenge you this morning to be reminded by this peace offering mentality that every blessing that you enjoy is a blessing of God. Do you have children? Aren't they a blessing? Amen. Sometimes, right? Most of the time. Do you have grandchildren? What a blessing. Are you married? What a blessing. Apparently, Brother Michael and I are the only ones that count marriage as a blessing. But it's okay, Michael, we're blessed. How often do you stop and just count the small stuff? Oh, I pray. Oh, Lord, I want this. And Lord, I need that. And Lord, bless me with it. But wait a minute. Look at what God has already given you. Stop and be thankful and share fellowship with God for those victories that you've already been given. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name." Why? Because He has been good to us. He has been very good to us. You know, I have the preacher mentality, and ever since I've been at Victory, you know, on a Sunday, it didn't matter what Sunday school attendance was. Guess what my thought was? Boy, I want us to be more. Lord, give us more. Lord, give us more. And but I want you to know today I'm thankful that you're here. I don't know how many is here. I haven't seen any numbers. But at this moment, I just want to be thankful that we're here. And I want to praise the awesome God that has given me a church family such as Victory Missionary Baptist Church is. And you know what? I believe you'll find that if you take the time in this service today to stop and count the little victories, you'll leave here knowing you've been in the presence of God. We need a renewed appreciation for all that we have in our awesome God. We also need a renewed relationship that worship brings. You see, Joshua, once he got the people together, it says he wrote the law on the altar, on the stones of the altar for the people to see. Then he read the law for the people to hear. And I love it. It emphasized he read all the law. I'm guessing that was probably the book of Deuteronomy. Would y'all sit here for me if I read you the book of Deuteronomy? But Joshua wasn't going to leave a word out. But I want you to understand what that law was. That law was a covenant relationship that Israel had with God. Now we need to understand what a covenant is. A covenant is a sacred bond between two parties that involves mutual obligations. You know, when you enter into a financial contract, let's say you buy a car, they have you sign papers, and that paper will say, "We will give you the car," and you make payments on the car, right? That's a covenant. Well, listen, there is a God covenant. It started with Israel in the Old Testament. Or the first one I want to mention is with Israel in the Old Testament. And God gave Israel the Old Covenant. And He gave them their responsibilities, which meant He said, "I'm going to be God, and I'm going to be your God, and I'm going to bless you. But here's what I want you to do." And basically was, do what I tell you to do. And I go through that because most people do not understand the concept of a covenant relationship with God. See, as a child of God, you have entered a covenant relationship with God, which means God has His responsibilities toward you, and you have your responsibilities toward God. That's what a covenant relationship is. You say, "Oh no, Brother Doug, that's old law stuff. That's back in the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament." Listen, do you know what the word testament means? We're under the Old Covenant. That's what Israel had. But now we are under the New Covenant, which we call the New Testament. You're still under covenant with God if you're a child of God. And you have the responsibility to live up or to try to live up to your end of the covenant. See, as a child of God, most people don't get that. We live in an age of cheap grace which says, "I'll live like I want to live, it's nobody's business, and if I need God, I'll call Him." And so when emergency comes, we cry out, "God, deliver me, get me out." And then after the emergency passes, okay, God, you can go back where you were before. We don't need you anymore. That's not a covenant relationship. God is not a 911 number. Okay? A covenant relationship is an ongoing daily relationship. We are under the new covenant. And this covenant, we live in a world that I call it cheap grace, that people think God loves them and is on their side no matter what they do. That's never taught in the Bible. Never. I've heard people say, don't judge me and tell me the way I'm living is wrong. I have it worked out with God. I just look at him and say, well, God's got another book. Because the way you're living is not in this one. Well, it actually is, but God's against it. Oh, listen. I'm reminded as we gather to worship that I have responsibilities toward the God that I have entered into a covenant with. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells me, and it's part of the covenant. If you ask, Brother Doug, what does the covenant say? Open your Bible. Read it. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm supposed to live like a new creature. Not only do I live different as this new creature, but I'm expected to be a fruitful child of God. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. See, these are things that are supposed to be in my life. Now, am I perfect? Absolutely not. Do I fail? Absolutely. And if we go back to the first part of this message and I go to God, Lord, forgive me. But I do want these things to be present in my life because I'm in a covenant relationship with a loving God. And I want my life to honor Him. You see, this that we just read in verse 34, Joshua read all the law. And part of the law was blessing and cursing. And as he read the law, Israel, all of Israel was lined up on one side or the other. You see, Mount Ebal was the side of cursing. Mount Gerizim was the side of blessing. And so they divided Israel and they had half of Israel on one side, half of Israel on the other side. And so as he read the law, we'll start with the curses. And he was reading, as he was reading, those Israelites that were lined up on the Mount Ebal side, they would amen. You want to know where amening the preacher comes from? Here you go. But he would read something like this. Cursed. Cursed is the idolater. Those who were on the Mount Ebal side were standing over here and saying, amen. Amen. Cursed is the one who does not honor their father and their mother. Amen. You know, they would shout out after each one. Cursed is the one who perverts justice. Amen. Cursed is the immoral. Amen. Cursed is the one that does not conform to the law. Amen. And they would just shout it over here on the Mount of Ball side. And then there was the side of blessing. And basically the side of blessing was, do what God says do. But the people on the side of blessing, they would amen as Joshua read the blessings. Is that you'll be blessed coming in and going out. Amen. Your crops will be abundant. Amen. Your enemies will be defeated. Amen. You know, and it go on and on. Your children will be blessed. Your livestock blessed. And the amens will be flowing. It go from one side to the other. Amen. And nobody ever went to sleep because they knew they were supposed to amen. Hey, you think that would work for us? Amen. As I looked at that, I thought, yeah, I was just reminded how cool that was. They were agreeing with the words of the covenant. But I'll tell you what, they were also realizing that there were conditions to the covenant. See, people don't understand today that God's blessings are conditional. They've heard the heresy that God loves you just the way that you are, to the point that they believe it and they haven't changed a thing about their life. While it's true that God does love you, God does not love your sin. And He will not accept or bless a godless life. Listen to me, I'll say it again. God will not bless or accept a godless life. He will not. If you think you can live like the devil, and God will just bless you and you're on and He's on your side, you're terribly, terribly mistaken. You see, I'm amazed that people find themselves on the side of cursing today. And they don't seem to understand why their life's not working. You know, people who are guilty of adultery and they don't understand, why is my marriage falling apart? Duh! Why is this happening to me? You know. People don't want God in the public arena anymore. Yet, when something bad happens, we want to blame God and say such things like, well, if there is a God, why would this happen? Listen, we have invited, as a nation, we have invited God out of this country. And I fear that God has removed His protective hand from our country. Even today, in the United States of America, there are a lot of people who want God to heal our land of this dreaded sickness. But nothing has changed. There's been no repentance. I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest. Everybody wants this virus to be over, right? If you want this virus to be over, will you say amen? I do too. So I'm going to share with you a scripture that's been on my heart all week long. Can't get rid of it. God does that. The only way you can deal with it is to preach it. Maybe you can be burdened with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. I want to ask you a very serious question this morning. Okay? We talk about how bad the world is and how out of control the world is. What about God's people? What about the people who are supposed to have a prayer life, supposed to have a relationship with God? What about us? Where are we right now? I want you to notice 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I know it was written to the nation of Israel at that time, but it is very applicable to us today. The first word of that verse is if. If you remember a covenant relationship, one party has responsibilities, another party has responsibilities, and they both live up to those responsibilities. Conditional. You want God to bless our nation? There are conditions. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's the first requirement. Humble. Humility. You see, God's people are walking around today as though, I have no sin. I've got it all together. Meanwhile, the church is more worldly than it's ever been. Because we don't deal with sin. We're too proud to kneel and to pray and to seek the face of God, realizing He is the only hope for this nation. He's not only the only hope for this nation, He's the only hope for me, for you and I. Oh, but look what comes next. If we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek My face and turn. Repent. Change of direction. Do you understand that if this nation's delivered today, that it will begin with God's people? He's talking to His people as He says, turn. Listen, this direction's not working. Turn. That's what we forget today. We condemn the world and how bad the world is, but hey, let's be honest, we're dealing with sin too. And we want God to answer our prayers and to restore us as a nation and to bless us as a nation, but what are God's people doing? I dare say, not much. Revival hasn't happened yet. If My people, who are called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. Friends, I believe with all my heart it starts with you and I. The recovery of this nation will start with you and I. We've got to quit looking at what everybody else is doing and start thinking about what we're doing. And if you'll notice, I said you and I. Me too. But look what happens. Look at the result. If My people will do this, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's a promise. If we as God's people will keep our part of the bargain, our part of the covenant, then God will most certainly keep His. Ask you a question. Is that Brother Doug? You're going to get personal here. I am. I'm going to get very personal. On Wednesday night, we have had prayer services for the last 2 weeks. And I want you to know I'm very encouraged. Because some people are coming to that prayer service. And all we're doing is opening the auditorium so that you come and pray. And the first time we did it, I'll tell you, it moved me. And it blessed me. But I'm guessing 25 or so have come. And that's fine. I understand that people have other things going on. But let me ask you a question. Did you come because you had, or did you not come because you had other things going on? Or did you not come because you didn't think it'd do any good anyway? My friends, we as God's people have got to get serious about God. We do. This thing's not on autopilot and God's going to bless me because I'm a member of Victory Baptist Church. No.
You see, I have some responsibilities that I'm supposed to live up. There is a side of blessing and a side of cursing. And today, you got to ask yourself, which side are you on? Number one, are you a child of God? Are you saved? Okay? If not, you're on the side of cursing. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. If you've not received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, then my friend, you're going to be cursed for all eternity. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And I share with you out of a heart of caring and out of a heart of love that if without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. But the good news is, we're told in the book of Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're told in John 3:16 that God so loved the world. That's you. That's me. That's everyone here. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. God does not want you to spend eternity in hell. He wants you to receive Jesus. Will you do that this morning? Maybe you're here today and you're already saved. But you're in that lukewarm category. Kind of hit and miss, whatever. How do you think God really feels about that? I'll tell you. It makes Him sick, according to the book of Revelation. It's time for us to get on fire for Jesus again. You know, it's time for us to choose the side of blessing. But you understand this. It'll start with us. With you and with me. And we'll have to choose our side. Blessing or cursing. I want to choose blessing. We're going to have a verse of invitation. It's time to choose.